Thank you, Brother Bill, for those good songs. And I think you know that that last song is Jane's favorite song, my wife's favorite song. She loves that song, and so do I. And we're so thankful to see all of you here. We have a visitor with us this evening, and we are so thankful that you came our way. So please don't leave until we get a chance to talk to you and get a chance to meet you. I do ask all of you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. As always, I don't want you to take my word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. Now, I recently read an account of a visit that a preacher made to a rather large congregation during which he had been invited to preach. As he began his lesson, he noticed a little gray-haired lady sitting very near the front adjusting her headphones. She then plugged into the sound jack on the back of the pew in front of her. She settled back, and she gave all her attention as he was speaking. Things were progressing pretty well in the early part of the sermon, and he had many complimentary things to say, and the elderly lady was nodding her head in approval. But eventually, he reached the point in the lesson where some needed rebuke and admonition was to be given. And the preacher was kind of surprised to see that little old lady calmly remove the headphones and deliberately yank the plug from the sound system. She had heard all that she was going to hear. She deliberately broke the connection and just tuned him out. Have you ever noticed that a lot of people have a certain breaking point, a point beyond which they will not listen? The word of the Lord may be heard with gladness, but when some unpleasant truth is presented to them, they break the connection, and they tune the Lord and the Lord's spokesman out. Have you ever seen a little child throw a little temper tantrum, put his hands over his ears and start screaming to keep from hearing? Well, that is essentially the way some folks act when they reach their tuning out point of the word of God. And this really shouldn't be surprising because our Lord spoke of such individuals when he quoted Isaiah's prophecy in Matthew the 13th chapter. And I'd like you to come with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 13. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus said, beginning in verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Brethren, there are those who will tune God out at the very time when the instructions that they most need to hear are being given. Have you ever considered how often the Word of God has said, "Hear ye"? Have you ever thought about how often He says, "Hear ye"? He pleaded time and time again with Israel to hearken to His words and to be warned. In Proverbs 28 and verse 9 tells us, "He that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." God is still crying. He's still crying, "Hear ye, hear ye." But oh, there are those breaking points, those tuning out times. For many people today, the idea of needing book, chapter, and verse for all that we do of a religious nature, in other words, the need for authority in our actions, proved to be the tuning out points. Now, most of you are aware that several years back, I used to be on a live radio call-in show called Bible Talk. Someone said on the radio program Bible Talk, when we were discussing Bible authority, they asked as they called in and said, "Can't you just bend the rules a little bit? Since we're told that Christians walk by faith and not by sight, and since we're told that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17, it is absolutely unavoidable that if we are going to do something by faith, it must be found in the word of God. And that, brethren and friends, demands book, chapter, and verse. We're told not to go beyond that which is written in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. And again, there's a grave warning given us in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. I want you to come with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 22, and let's read verses 18 and 19. We are clearly told in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, "For I testify to every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." Brethren, this, by the way, is a repetition of what was stated in Deuteronomy 4:2. And the principle applies to all the Scriptures. All the Scriptures. We are not to add to or take from God's Word. That's a sin if we do. We're told that we must abide within the doctrine of Christ or lose the fellowship that we have with the Father and the Son in 2 John 9. All of this together cries out for the need of authority in our religious practices. This means that all man-made additions to God's revealed word must fall by the wayside. And most people will not give them up. Demand book, chapter, and verse, and many will pull the jack out of the sound system. Again, the radio program has clearly pointed out another tuning out point in the religious world in general. When we would talk about the fact on the radio program that a Christian is accountable for the way that they live and that they can lose their salvation, or we talk about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or saved at the point of belief is challenged, the city resounds with the sound of radios being tuned or turned off, with eyes being shut and ears being stopped and minds being closed. They just tune us out. Come with me, if you would, to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10, verse 26. I've been amazed at the anger with which people will disregard such passages as Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 29, which tells us, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Think about that. And probably, brethren, probably the biggest tuning out point of all shouldn't surprise us, yet it continues to surprise me every time it occurs. Why shouldn't it be a surprise? If you would, look with me at Luke, the 7th chapter. Luke chapter 7. Luke tells us, in Luke 7 and verses 29 and 30, "And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John." Listen now. "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." These Jewish Pharisees and lawyers broke the connection at baptism. They rejected the counsel of God against themselves rather than to submit to the will of God in baptism. Ever hear of anything like that lately? Does it sound familiar? Yes, there are multitudes who will listen to the plan of salvation until baptism is mentioned and then God is tuned out. As I stand here right now, there are thousands upon thousands of preachers across the United States right now denying that baptism is essential for salvation. Not only the Baptists, brethren, but most all the denominations do that. And you know what? Try as they may, Jesus plainly said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That's Mark 16:16. These words will never, never change, no matter how the denominational world tries to change them. Throngs will hear the Lord to this point, and at that point they've heard enough. They will listen to Peter's sermon on Pentecost until they reach Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 and 38, and then they tune him out. They want to hear Paul's conversion, but they want to stay on the road to Damascus. They don't want to come into the city with Saul and hear what Ananias told him what to do to wash away his sins. They want the blessings in Christ, but they don't want to hear how to get into Christ where the blessings are located. Yes, they want to be saved, but they refuse to hear what Peter says about how this is accomplished in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21. So they break the connection. They pull the jack out of the sound system, so to speak. All this is disturbing, but when really thought about it, it's not surprising. There are so many that are in various denominations in the first place because they have become so adept at tuning God out whenever something contrary to their practices or their doctrines are mentioned. Come with me to John, the 6th chapter, if you would, please. John chapter 6. Brethren, the reason some are not religious at all is their ability at tuning God out. The same thing happened in the days of our Lord. In John chapter 6, at the conclusion of one of the greatest recorded discourses of Jesus, we find beginning in verse 60 these words. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." So what happened? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What is surprising, however, is that so many within the body of Christ, Christians, also have their tuning out points. Let me ask you, do any of us have tuning out points? Do any of us reach up and pull the jack out of the sound system? Let's talk about a few of these tuning out points that relate especially to Christians. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 again, if you would. Is it possible, brethren, is it possible that any of us here simply need to hear Hebrews 10, verses 23 through 25, and immediately we shut down? Hebrews 10, verse 23 through 25 reads this way, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Listen now, "not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." He tells us to forsake the assembly, or to not come to church when you can and when you could, is a sin, brethren. It is a sin. Could it be possible that some of us here at Prairie Village simply choose not to hear? Is the subject of attending all the services of the congregation to the point at which some here would say, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" I hope not. Or could it possibly be that in the area of entertainment, some here have their tuning out point? Is it possible when the necessity of remaining pure in what we do for recreation is brought up, some want to tune it out? Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, in light of such passages as Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul wrote, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on these things, he says. Do you think on these things when times get rough? Do you? Is it possible that some here still renting or going to theaters to watch R movies? Is it possible that you're still going to watch those soap operas? Is it possible that you're going to watch those highly immoral evening programs that glorify fornication and drunkenness and all sorts of immoral acts? Are you going to listen to music no matter what the words say or what the songs are about, just because we will listen to what we want to listen to when we want to listen to it? Do any of us have tuning out points in these areas? Or how about when we talk about modesty? Is it possible that any here at Prairie Village figuratively unplugged the headphones when we began to talk about the way we might appear in public? Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you would. Brethren, whether we tune out or not, God's Word still says in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." That principle includes all of us, men also, men and women. Is it possible that there's a tuning out point when the inappropriateness of a Christian participating in mixed swimming or the utter inappropriateness of the modern dance is being discussed? Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4. Brethren, is it possible that some might tune out when we speak of the necessity of each member of this congregation supplying to the best of their ability what they can do? In Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, Paul wrote these words. He said, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Here Paul says that every part, every joint, or every one of us has work to do. We must never, ever quit working for the Lord. Is it possible that when we discuss each of us doing what we can in the work, that some just pull the plug, having already determined they weren't going to do anything? Is that possible? Is it possible some will say, "I've already done my part, let the young ones or somebody else do it, I'm done, I've retired"? Is it possible? If that's your attitude, you better rethink it. Let's read what the Lord says about that in Luke 17 and verse 10. Jesus says in Luke 17 and verse 10, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which were commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do." We've only done that which is our duty to do, and we're still unprofitable servants. You've heard me say many a time that my mother was teaching a Bible class at the age of 89 when she died. So you never get too old. You never get too old in the work of the Lord. Never. And men, let me talk to you just a minute. Think about this in terms of things needed to be done during service. Are you doing all you're capable of doing, or are you tuning in out saying, "Nah, I'm not going to do it"? Are you tuning out? If you can be a teacher with a little work, are you doing it or tuning out? If you can lead a prayer, are you doing it or tuning out? If you can give an invitation with a little work, are you doing or just tuning out? If you can preside over the Lord's table, are you doing or just tuning out? And if you can lead singing with a little work, are you doing it or just tuning out? Now, I'm sure that here at Prairie Village is no different than any other congregation in that we always need classroom teachers. Look with me at Matthew, the 28th chapter, please. Matthew, the 28th chapter. What commonly is called the Great Commission authorizes women teachers. And Jesus said in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The gospel is to be taught, brethren. Those baptized are to be taught and observe all things which I have commanded you. So what happened? Those taught were baptized. Men and women were baptized under the Great Commission, as we read about in Acts 8:12. When women are taught and are baptized, they have the responsibility to teach others. The Great Commission doesn't give women permission to teach others. It commands them to teach others. Paul says the aged women are to be teachers of good things and that they may teach the young women, Titus 2, verses 3 and 4. Titus chapter 2 does not give permission for older women to teach younger women. It commands her to do so. And unless she does, she stands in violation of God's word. So again, I ask the women, are you teaching a class or are you just tuning the Lord out? Now how both of you, men and women, are responding to this part of the sermon right here and now may just give you the answer. So what's the point of all this? The point is there some point where any of us refuse to listen to the Word of God? Ask yourself, just what part of God's Word would we brand as unessential? What part of God's Word would we brand as unessential? Not essential. Jesus taught in Matthew 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." Come with me to John chapter 12. Now before any of us figuratively jerk the plug and tune the Lord out, remember His words in John 12 and verse 48. Our Lord said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that rejecteth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Brethren, the Word of God, the Bible, is what will judge us on Judgment Day. So study your Bible. Study your Bible. We cannot accept some of God's Word all the time and think it's okay because it's not. We cannot accept all of God's Word some of the time and think it's okay. It is not. With Jesus, it's either all or nothing. You may come with me if you'd like to Matthew 12 and verse 30. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Matthew 12:30. What's the Lord's point here? You cannot go halfway. It's either all or nothing with the Lord. So friends and brethren, we're not going to go to heaven on a group plan. Nobody's going to stumble into heaven. Nobody's going to go to heaven accidentally. Planning for heaven is the only plan that makes any sense. And the plan of salvation that God has given us is so easy to understand. First, you must hear the gospel preached. Then you must have faith in Christ and in God. Then you must repent of your sins. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. and then you must live faithfully until death. There may be some here also this evening who are Christians, but you haven't been faithful. You can take care of that this evening too by coming forward when we sing the invitation song. Let us pray with you and pray for you. Brethren, listen to me now. The only thing you should want to take to the grave with you is a worn out body from exercising faith in Jesus and leading others to Him. That's the only thing. The only thing you should take to the grave with you is a worn out body from exercising faith in Jesus and leading others to Him. If there's anyone here this evening who is not a Christian, you're living in sin, and you need to take care of that right now. You can do that by coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, because He most assuredly is, and then be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And if you've been unfaithful, this is a good time to take care of that. After you repented to God, you too can come forward and we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Can we help anybody in any way do anything to make their life right with God? We don't know if Jesus is coming back today, tomorrow, 100 years from now, 10,000, million years from now, or in the next 5 minutes. Why take a chance? Take care of it now when you got that chance. Don't leave this building in an unsaved condition. Come now, as we stand and as we sing. Better be.